everybody, and welcome back into the Sorry to Interrupt podcast. It's another full swing recap. It's episode 5. We got the trifecta here. The band is back together. Boys, how we doing?
I'm good, Sean. How are you, Tommy? What's going on?
Gentlemen, it's almost the weekend.
We get to talk about your favorite person, Tom.
Yeah.
Alex Fitzpatrick, Tom's favorite.
Listen, he seems like a nice enough guy, but like, I don't know. I didn't really find him or his brother. I mean, this might be a hot take, but I didn't find him or his brother interesting enough to have a full episode about them.
I kind of agree with you. I kind of look at Matt Fitzpatrick as somebody, now that it's the season, somebody that would do my taxes.
Yeah, well, it is tis the season. You got, I don't know, 11 days, right?
Oh, I already did mine. Yes.
Okay.
I haven't done mine yet.
Come on, man.
No, I got it. I got this capital gains thing I got going on. I got to see if I hit the limit or not.
Sure.
Your boy's in on. I bought a lot of NVIDIA. Let me just say that a couple of years ago.
There you go.
I don't know if you've seen what that stock is at. Not to brag.
No, Will. You know Tom never likes to brag about anything.
Not to brag, but I mean it's trading at like $800 a share. No big deal. But what? Yes, Fitzpatrick. It's so boring. I don't even remember what we're talking about. I mean, like, he's an incredible golfer, and I know how hard he's worked. I mean, he went from like at best middle of the pack speed wise to now he's one of the fastest guys on tour. I've seen his workouts and what he does to the speed training, and it's incredible. And he's a great story, winning that U.S. Open after he won the U.S. Am years ago at the same golf course. I mean, Sean, what do you think? Like, did it really – I don't know. I just found myself not really glued to the TV like I was with the other ones.
Yeah, you want to know my thoughts. My thoughts are this is a sibling episode, and they're just going to promote the shit out of it, and that's what they did. And it's totally cool, right? Like, they named the episode In the Shadows. And it was all about Alex's rise, living in the shadows of his older brother's dominance and becoming a top player on tour and highlighting all of his success, some of which we saw in season one. And this was kind of more about Alex's ascension and the relationship he has with his girlfriend from Wake Forest. And
he's a solid player. I mean, Arnold Palmer went to Wake Forest, right?
I totally forgot about his performance at the Open. And he should be celebrated for that, but I think Netflix and Full Swing crew just wanted to get this episode in to promote the sibling rivalry that is Alex and Matt Fitzpatrick. So we got it.
I totally agree with you on that, Sean. And, you know, watching it, and I agree with Tom too. It's not one of the ones that you're glued to, you know, like the Tom Kims, or if you see, you know, JT or, you know, Spieth or whoever, name whoever.
It was nice to see a little emotion out of Matty Fitz under the, because I don't think I've ever seen any under the bleachers there when his brother.
When he's cheering for his brother, yeah, 100%. But they kind of did Alex Fitzpatrick pretty dirty. They show Scheffler like world number one. They show Schauffele world number 10, Homa world number 9, and they show Alex world number 705. And it was like, wow, I just did him dirty.
A little perspective, but, you know, though, at the same time.
I know. It definitely is a perspective. And the way that he played in that Open Championship, just to finish top 5, didn't he?
Yeah, oh, no, I believe he finished.
He finished top 20 because he had two bad bogeys on the last three holes. Out of the last three holes, he had two bad bogeys. But still finishing top 20.
Not to mention, he qualified for that as well. Yeah. I mean, it's an Open Championship. You got to qualify to get in.
The other thing that, you know, bothers me is, like, how many times are you going to be – you're going to say to the camera, I want to be my own person. Like, we got it after the first three times you said it, dude.
Like, you got to remember, Will, this is a drama series. They're trying to really pull on the heartstrings, right? Like, I think we go back to a couple episodes ago when we talked about whether it was episode 2 or 3, and it was like, maybe this isn't 1,000% for us, but it definitely is for the casual who's like, I didn't even know Matt had a brother on tour.
That's a sweet point.
Carve out his own thing. Like, they played it up, dude.
That's a great point.
I totally get it. And, like, maybe it comes from my perspective, kind of hits home a little bit, and Tommy knows. You know, I kind of lived in my brother's shadow baseball-wise, but I was never like, when is it going to be about me? When is it going to be about me? Like, I never, obviously never.
You didn't have anywhere. A docuseries about you,
yeah,
man.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Obviously not.
Not yet.
Anywhere close. But, like, my whole perspective is, if you want to get out of the shadow, bro, you don't. Maybe you're not God-gifted talent that Matt Fitzpatrick have, even though he trains extremely hard to be where he is right now. But that just shows you got to train even harder than he is because he's God gifted in golf.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, Matty Fitz is a little bit older than him, and he took a different path. He took the amateur path, and I do believe he's a little bit more talented. But Alex is young, and maybe he'll have a good PGA Tour career. Sean, you made an awesome point, you know, saying that it probably isn't fully made for us. I think, you know, the model of the drive to survive, this is modeled off that, and the whole goal of that was to get people into F1, which I think has been a lot more successful than getting people into golf, but I don't think it's Full Swing's fault. I think it's Liv and all this other BS's fault. So I do think that's a good perspective, that we're a little bit more avid, and maybe it's not for us. The only thing I was disappointed in, and again, I'm not going to blame Full Swing or the Fitzpatricks or anything, it's just like, this is supposed to be about the PGA Tour, and he's not even on the tour. Like,
yeah.
But with that being said, guys maybe didn't lend their time, guys backed out, whatever, it turned into a full episode. I thought it was decent. It was a nice brotherly story. Yeah, I saw flashes of WS and JS there, of course.
Yeah, but like my whole thing is like, and the thing that bothered me too is like, you see for like the first 35 minutes of the episode, it was just his parents being like, yeah, that's a bad shot at Alex. Yeah, he should have made that putt. And then, like, the last, like, 15 minutes, I'm so proud of you. Like, you know, they were all just praising Matt the whole time. And then Alex makes a bad shot. He's like, the dad's like, that's a bad shot.
So Will, kind of.
I felt pretty good. I felt like I was watching myself in that.
Kind of to my point before, I mean, I think you even go with, like, the ending music, right?
Yeah.
The song, and it's meant to be emotional, and it's meant to really, like, show how he is coming out of the shadows. I keep hearkening back to the title of the episode, but I think sometimes the title of the episode tells us what the story is going to be about, and that's what it is.
Yeah,
so 100%. From that perspective alone, that's where I really kind of garner. I'm like, this is cheesy. This is ridiculous.
I probably would.
I hope he does great. But Tom, just to finish my point overall, like, this isn't for me. Okay, Alex, good job, man. I'll pay attention to you on the leaderboard. Matt still has more work to do to cement himself as an all-time great for where he is in current rankings. But they had a point to prove on this episode, and they did that fine. And maybe it wasn't for us, but it was maybe meant for others, and maybe they got a lot more out of it than I did.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that I think this episode was not made for people that really watch golf, especially like Tom. You know, and myself, I'm not on Tom's level when it comes to golf and watching golf and knowing what goes on with the players and whatnot. And I think this was more towards the casual and getting to know, oh, yeah, Matt Fitzpatrick, yeah, I saw him win that Open Championship. And, you know, oh, he has a brother, that's cool, he plays golf as well. But, like, me as a golfer, and not a good one, but me as a golfer and a guy that
good
watches
putter.
Golf. I am a good putter, yes. But like a guy that watches golf, especially Tom, like I'm 35 minutes through this episode, and I'm like, part of me is like, I want this guy to shoot plus 16, and maybe we can get the next episode on Michael Block.
Oh God, could you imagine?
Is
I would be so
coming,
pissed.
Tom?
I would be so pissed off. Like that's where I would be like, that's where I would text you guys because I have not looked ahead. I'm hoping you guys are honest and haven't looked ahead.
No,
either.
I have not looked ahead.
I have not either.
So don't tweet at us. Follow us though at Sorry Sports, but don't tweet at us spoilers because if Blocky shows up on a fucking episode, I will be so pissed off. I would text you guys and be like, that's it. We're not doing it anymore. And then Twitter got me too because somebody tweeted out on April Fool's that he got invited to the Masters. And I almost drove my car off the road. I was so angry. But then it was an April Fool's joke.
You know what's funny is I could totally picture you doing that too. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, it, obviously it was a great story and whatever, but like just the way he kind of acted and all that stuff has kind of ruined it for me. You know, you hit an
you just
amazing
don't like
shot.
His personality, and I'm on the
yeah,
same page
you,
with you.
You know, you hit an amazing shot. You hit a hole in one, and then you pretend like it didn't go in. Like you knew it went in.
Yeah. I mean, again, this episode probably wasn't for us, and honestly, it is what it is. Looking ahead, who do you guys, out of the guys that you think could possibly on this, because we kind of know, who do you want to see?
Well, we saw Ricky. We saw Kim. We've seen a little bit of Rory, a little bit of JT. Joel. We've seen Joel. I'm trying to think.
I like maybe to see more JT.
I think JT's struggles from last year are going to be highlighted a little bit.
Did we see Brooksy?
I was just going to say, Tom, are we going to see a little bit more Brooksy? And also, are we going to see some Victor action?
The other one that I think they would be an interested episode because how hard he trains but then always chokes is Xander Schauffele.
Yeah,
Tom's,
I agree.
Tom's waiting for the full Patrick Cantlay episode. Oh,
nah, that's wrong. Another one where I'd be like, I mean, fucking
that
cancel it.
That episode's going to be 3 hours long.
About what? About literally no, what?
No, that's the way he plays golf.
Oh, he's true. It's true. He is the slowest golfer ever. 3 hours, like 6 hour rounds, bro. 3 hours, he'd be humming. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, I'd like to see a little more JT. I watched this excellent. It was called like On the Range or Range Talk with Brooks Koepka yesterday. Trixon did it. Shout out to them. They did an awesome job. And that's more kind of the stuff that I'm into is just talking the game. But I'd love to see more Brooks. And then Spieth, obviously, I'd love to see. I know you're over Spieth. Who's over Spieth? Will
me.
Or Sean?
Me.
Sean, right? I mean, it's a hot take.
I picked him in my foursome this week because he's had success at the Valero, but...
He had an ace today.
He did have a hole-in-one today.
Yep.
And he did the right thing. He's like, I've done this before. Just give me a pound right here. Give me a fist bump.
So, can I ask you boys a question pertaining to season two over season one?
Mm-hmm.
What are your guys' thoughts? Have they like kind of turned up the drama reality series on season two?
Hell
than they
yeah.
Did season one?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I feel like, you know, they did their due diligence in season one, but like, you know, the whole Tom Kim episode, which was awesome, and we waxed poetically about Tom Kim, just like, you know, you see him up and coming and he's only 20 years old, and then getting to learn about him because you just love him the way he is on the course and his personality. And then they do a whole thing on him and you're like, oh, this is really how Tom Kim is, which was very interesting to all of us. But yeah, I think it's more pulling on the strings this season than it. I think it's more pulling on the strings than golf, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think they definitely have tried to gain a different audience this year, I think would be the word. Have they successfully done it? I don't know, because I'm not that audience, so I couldn't tell you. I could tell you that Michaela is in love with Joel Damon because that's the only episode she watched. But aside from that, she's not like, oh, let's watch Full Swing.
I mean, you got to respect a guy that wears a bucket hat, you know, like me.
Cancer survivor, just an all-around baller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they also were able to capitalize off of his episode in season one, right?
Yep.
Absolutely. Do you guys have anything else on this episode?
Not really. I mean, I do wish the best for, you know, Alex Fitzpatrick. He obviously played very well, you know, for four rounds against the best in the world. Maybe he can continue to get that going and get his card and, you know, challenge his brother, you know, not just in one round. I wonder if, you know, minus that, how often has he beaten his brother in a round?
Kind of what gets me, dude, is the fact that
you tweet at him and ask
little
him.
Brother syndrome a lot in professional sports, and it's just a natural thing, right? And I think Alex went out of his way to be a little self-deprecating, and I think Netflix and Full Swing crew went out of their way to highlight Matthew's success a little bit even more, to like, hey, don't forget what he's done, and he's only a year and a half removed from winning the U.S. Open. So I think from the majority, I mean, you even saw him walking out with the trophy at the soccer game and all that. It's like, this is truly living in the shadow, and I think they're kind of propping up, hey, the Open Championship was laying the groundwork for a potential run of him getting his tour card and becoming a more prominent name, but shit, maybe he isn't, and that's okay. But again, I'll just harken back to the fact that becoming more dramatic and more reality TV, it's kind of pushing people like us away from it, while it's probably also garnering a larger group of fans that probably weren't around for season one, which was a little bit more golf.
Yeah, like I said, it's just pulling on the strings this year. But if he doesn't even make the PGA, go play on the Korn Ferry Tour and become a stud. Who cares?
Yeah, he'll probably play on the DP World Tour, which I fucking hate.
Or the European Tour or something.
Well, that's the DP World Tour now. That's what it's called. Okay. Which I hate, dude. I can't believe Dude Perfect is sponsoring like the second biggest tour in the world.
Dude Perfect's still a thing?
Hell yeah, dude. They're massive. I got to send you a picture of their like HQ right now. Just to show, just to piss you off.
Yeah, no, they do piss me off. I don't want to watch any of their videos. They're dumb.
And I think that I think that they do a lot of takes for those shots.
I definitely agree with you.
Sean, do you like Dude Perfect? Not welcome.
Never seen a single episode, show, moment, clip, anything. Couldn't tell you.
Keep it that way, because you're going to be like, these guys are losers. That's what you're going to say.
Yeah, probably.
It's a $3 million office.
Jesus.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, did you see Aaron Judge is now affiliated with Prime, which is either Logan or Jake Paul's thing?
Oh, the Prime Water thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't see that. I think Judge should focus on hitting the baseball.
Well, he did yesterday, and he got them to win, so.
Oh, great. Up to 164. Great.
Oh, awesome. Shut the fuck up. That's our captain.
Yeah.
Or a weekend. I'm sending you their. I'm sending you their future.
I'm gonna tell you what. The more we talk Yanks, and the more you become the WFAN caller, the more I'm gonna dislike your takes. So
that's fine. Listen, that's fine. 100% fine. But when you're getting paid the way Aaron Judge gets paid, you know, if we're having this conversation in July and he's not hitting his weight, is that valued for me that I just said that now?
I think that's fair. It's not because we're a week in, but I think if in July he's still hitting .180 instead of after five games.
With six home runs. Sure.
Yeah. No, I have no problem with it there, but I just see a trend. That's all.
The Yankee fan that would have booed Jeter in 1999 after an 0-for-14 start.
I would never boo Jeter ever.
Yeah, you say that now, but.
No, I would. I'd never boo Jeter ever in my life. I can guarantee you that.
Well, that's okay. Listen, there's going to be a couple years from now, if Judge keeps it up, you'll say the same thing about Judge. So we'll see.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, you guys, you know, on Sanchez's deck for years. And, you know,
God, are you comparing? All right, we got to stop this pod. Right?
We know that was a joke, right? Can we clarify that?
No, I know it was a joke. Yes. But yeah, I mean,
unfortunately, there's going to be people listening who think you're serious. And
yes, I understand, Sean. It's five games in. Right now, I don't like what I see at bat-wise. I'm not talking about hits. I'm not talking about, like, even if he was having good at-bats and hitting hard-line drives at people and he's batting 164, no problem.
So zero, the opposite field home run and the pool and the double to right center not good enough for you?
No, that's one game, man. That's one game.
They've played seven, right?
I understand that. But, like, if you look at the other six games, it looks like the Judge of 2 years ago where he's swinging outside the zone all the time. I will give Judge some credit.
2 years ago when he hit 62 home runs and won the AL MVP?
No, not that year. The year before that. Where
you
Judge
said 2 years ago. That was the 2023.
You know what I meant. But also, I will give Judge some credit because he is getting some atrocious strike calls against him that are at his ankles when he's 6'7".
That was tough a couple of times there. That was their only loss.
Tom, are you going to save me here?
What do you need me to save you on, man?
No, Sean's right, 100%. But I'm talking about the Judge before the 62 home runs.
I don't know what you need me to save you for.
50 or whatever, but he also batted like .227.
No, he did not.
Nah, he's never been that bad, Willie, but that's okay. Listen, if you want to...
I'm just saying, I see a trend.
If he's in a slump in July still... I'm not calling this a slump by any means.
The Michael Kay Show has an opening from 3 to 7. You can call in and say how Aaron Judge is overpaid and overrated.
Well, you know what? The Dallas Cowboy Radio already has my number blocked. I can't call them. So,
and you know what, Sean? I'm gonna, as the CEO, step in here. Will's entitled to his own opinion, okay?
Thank you, Sean.
Everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
I could be wrong, but like if we're having the same exact conversation in 2 months from now, you'd be like, "Fuck, Will saw the trend."
Of course, that's a slump.
But I will gladly come on a July podcast and say, listen, I was totally wrong about Aaron Judge after game seven, and I'm an idiot.
Well, you're going to be on a lot more in between.
No, I know. I know what you mean when we talk baseball. But, you know, it's just a matter of time before Stanton gets benched. I can't even watch his at-bats anymore.
All right.
I'm holding out hope. I mean, I hate to do it, but I definitely am holding out hope.
They're 6-1, boys.
Yes, of course. 100%. I don't understand why I have to get a lecture. I didn't even say anything bad.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I mean,
this is a me and Will thing.
Yeah, I'm
this
just
is what
impressed.
The phone calls off the pot are for.
Yes, I'm just impressed with the bullpen and the pitching staff when we thought it was going to be, you know, names that we didn't know but had good springs, and we had some, you know, Nestor Cortez had two rough starts, two like rough innings, and then he finds it. But those two innings cost him wins.
I'm not worried about it. I deleted Bleacher Report today because they.
After I've seen what you know, you saw what you saw out of Gill, who has nasty stuff, has to work on the control. And I think he's going to be fine, and I think he's going to stay as the fifth starter. I really do. I think Schmidt is the one that gets booted from the rotation if Cole comes back.
We'll find out.
We will. I mean, if Kill can't get his command down, and I mean, listen, I didn't hate the
also,
first
keep
start.
In mind too, he's coming off Tommy John.
Yeah.
Schmidt actually pitched 130 innings last year. So.
Also, he was on like 10 days rest too. So he threw like a bullpen and like a, you know, start like three inning, whatever you want to call it, simulated start. Cause he was on 10 days rest, which is a long time for a pitcher.
Yeah.
So well,
they're going to go based off how they feel. And Cole's still a couple months out, and this is probably going to be the five for a while, but
yeah,
inevitably
fine,
someone
it's
else
been working.
Hurt, so.
It's been working. We just got to get some guys to hit. That's all.
6-1 boys, nothing to worry about. Will, I'm going to talk to you tomorrow. Sean, I'm going to talk to you in a minute, but Will, I'm going to talk to you tomorrow. We obviously have picks, boss.
Picks, boss. Yep.
Do you have your picks in yet?
I do not, but I will get on them because I need to have a huge bounce back after last week's debacle.
I've got a special pick, special
ooh.
Two picks
oh,
for
is,
Sean.
Is this the one that's going to, ooh.
I'm putting the kibosh on them, baby.
Attaboy.
I can't have Sean peacocking around without me getting a little something.
Little sperm bank lock?
Double sperm bank lock.
Ooh.
Should I tell you guys what it is right now?
No.
No,
tease
no.
Tease it.
All right. Tease it.
I mean, it's all UConn stuff, obviously.
Yeah, get everybody to listen tomorrow.
Well, everybody needs to listen tomorrow then to hear my two
also,
UConn picks.
Tommy, another tease. If we have a party pick tomorrow, both against Sean,
mine won't. My picks, I will say this, are not going to be against Sean. We'll be rooting for the same thing, but I'm going to be happy either way because either I won and I was right or I put the kibosh on Sean and they lost and he's not going to be peacocking on this podcast.
That's true.
You're so, just bad guys.
Either way I win. No, listen, I'm just a winner, man. Either way I win.
It's all about the green.
All right, everybody. We
later.
Will talk to you guys soon.
Have a good night, boys.
All right, everybody. We're back. Thanks to Will to talk about Full Swing. And Tom, now we get to
and
go
a Yankees
back to
rant.
Talk.
That was interesting.
And the Yankee ran at the end, you know.
I kept it to myself not, because I mean, obviously, I'm going to take your side. I just felt like I didn't really have anything to add there. You two were just on opposing ends, and that was that. So
he's saying that he doesn't believe Aaron Judge is in a good place because he's off to a slow start when he barely played spring training. And he just is coming off the game where he had the game-winning hit and also had a two-run home run. You know, there are certain things that I'll tolerate as far as questioning.
I agree with
that's
you,
not
but
one of them.
Will can have his takes, and if Judge, it's really gonna suck if Judge is in a slump. But we'll have to eat crow if that's the case. I'm hoping Will comes on here and eats crow,
you
and I'm
what?
Sure he is too.
The only thing that gets me is where it's like. He's like, I would never discount Jeter. I'm like, you say that now. You know, Jeter wasn't great all the time. And also, his teams were so much better than the teams Judge has played on a couple of times. And you're talking about the guy that he's like, well, 2 years ago. I was like, 2 years ago was the year he won MVP and hit 62 home runs.
Well, he's not here to defend himself. So
not really.
Listen,
he's
his
do
eyes
a better job coming with facts. Though.
His eyes are telling the story, and that's that.
And that's horrifying. However, going into Curb, because our eyes told us something, and Tom, your voice was ringing in my mind when I was watching this episode, because you were saying he was emptying the tank, he's throwing his fastball. He really was. I mean, this episode had Bruce Springsteen. This episode had COVID. This episode had the maid, or the masseuse. This episode had a screaming match with Susie. It had everything. It was fucking amazing. I was dying.
Oh, man. Sneeze there.
Oh, wow. Very appropriate for a COVID episode.
Yeah, I almost did that on purpose, but I didn't. Yeah, I mean, like you said, my head was spinning. This episode was entertaining from cover to cover. The Leon quote where he was testing the woman for the hand job, if she was even qualified, was an all-time line for me. Springsteen, I'm not like a huge Springsteen guy, maybe because I'm younger, but obviously I respect him and I listen to some of his music and whatnot. Dancing in the Dark is a pretty good song.
That's your first Springsteen pull?
I mean, yeah, I love that song. Can't
You're
Start
not going
the Fire.
With Born in the USA?
No. I mean, it's a good song, don't get me wrong, but Dancing in the Dark just gets me fucking grooving.
That's some Courtney Cox early action.
Yeah, I mean, like, I am born in America, but, like, so are you. I mean, it just doesn't do it for me. It's a good song. Don't get me wrong. It is a good song. But if you're going to ask me, oh, I'm playing Bruce Springsteen, what do you want to hear?
Glory Days.
Another great song.
You were a baseball player back in the day.
I was. It's a great song, but that's not my song, bro. Dancing in the Dark.
All right.
Is that fair? I mean, it's a fucking classic.
It's a good song, but out of all the Springsteen stuff, I didn't think that was going to be your first pull. But that's okay.
Well, I mean, Sean, like, I know that you disagree with Will, but, like, am I allowed to have that opinion, or is it just,
you totally are. No. This is where it's not the same thing. I was surprised that was your first pull.
What's your first
pull?
I'm
not saying that's a bad song or that you're wrong with it. It's just when you hear Springsteen, I don't think a lot of people go immediately to Dancing in the Dark. That was all.
I know. I'm only busting your balls. I guess your pull is either what? Born in the USA?
Yeah, Glory Days, I still think is.
Yeah, Glory Days is probably a 1B for me.
That's fine. But the fact that he got Springsteen to do this episode.
For an extended.
Right? And
it wasn't like a little Conan. It was like he was in, like, I don't know, a quarter of the actual show.
Yeah, with the walking the dog and the clearance and then showing up to his house and getting to borrow his car. Like, yeah. This is Larry David. You said it on the last pod. Like, he has such a pull that he can get basically anybody. But it was great that Larry was still, after Bruce got COVID and the fans showed up and he's watching the TV, he's like, I'm still 99.9% sure that was my glass.
Well, and it's just I feel like there was a subtle making fun of the finger pointing, because it's just like, I've experienced that in my life where people are like, oh, you gave me COVID. And it's like, no, you gave me COVID. And it's like, who the at what point are we just going to stop pointing the finger and be like, sorry, you know? Like, people don't get that pissed if you give somebody else the stomach bug or you know, a cold. It shit just happens. It should become more normal. I think that's what Larry's trying to say.
Well, I think that's what Larry's trying to say, and it's amazing how 4 years changes so much, right? Because 4 years ago today, you and I started recording pods remotely, and we were living about 25 minutes from each other at the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, oh my God, people are getting COVID, people are dying, this is horrible. To now, it's kind of a joke where it's like, yeah, you're under the weather. Like, oh my God, I tested positive tested negative 3 days later. I feel like 100%. Meanwhile, Susie's upstairs and he's yelling at her. Like, and Jeff's so happy he has the downstairs to himself. I think it was kind of a satire on what this was 4 years ago comparatively to what it is now.
I think this was just a complete satire of the last 4 or 5 years in general. I mean, between the Me Too thing and...
Yeah, you're going to get Me Too'd.
Between that and the COVID and the trial that he has coming up, everything. And there was even a few more subtle things that are, even from this episode alone, that are probably slipping my mind that are just so relevant at this time. And Larry just does a better job than anybody I'm playing off of it.
Absolutely. I mean, you knew it was off to a great start where the masseuse is absolutely just shitting on him the entire session of, you are old and bony, your skin is so dry, you're unhealthy, blah, 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 you're so dehydrated, and then that's it? And so, like, you want a happy ending? No happy ending. I didn't want a happy ending. I still think the fact that the what we haven't talked about is, you know, Larry hooking up with the trans guy who used to be the...
That's another thing. That's another culturally relevant thing.
And fucking on the floor and everybody just judging the shit out of Cheryl coming over. Wait, people say they love you afterwards? Really? Like, that's a thing? Yes, Larry, because you're a human being. I don't really see it that way. Like, it's just, and then at the very end where the diner gets the C because the staff member was fucking the person on the floor, and that's why they got the C. I don't know what kind of ingrate would do that, especially in a public... This person did it in a public place. I did it in my own house. I need to talk to this person.
He needs to meet him. Yeah, no, it was a banger of an episode. They all are. I mean, I really haven't had any complaints about any of them. No Richard in this one. You're not going to see him in the mall. And no fucking Vince Vaughn. I want him back.
And I think you're going to get him one more time, brother. I think you're going to get him one more time.
I mean, we only have how many left?
I think two more. I think it's this Sunday.
Well,
and
we
next.
Speculate every week, so.
I know, but I think I have seen leaks that there's two more.
Okay. Two more weeks, and then it's over. What are we going to do after that? I mean, this is pretty much, aside from Seinfeld, the only show that you, like, watch.
I know.
What are you going to do? Aside from watch Star Wars, which is what we have coming down the pike.
Yeah, well, that's an obligation. That's not something I look forward to.
Yeah, I'm on the same page with you there. I'm debating, do I do it sober?
I look forward to Curb, man.
Yeah, I'm with the Star Wars, I'm debating on if I do it sober or not, because we're going to actually have to ask real questions, and I can't be like, I don't remember any of it. Well, I was just looking at the colors.
If you're high and I have a couple drinks, I think we could bring some great questions to Phillips.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe we do that.
Do we want to set this in stone right now?
I think we're setting it in stone. I think I was just going to do it anyways without telling you, so I'm glad that we're on the same page.
This is a business meeting on the end of a podcast. I say we confirm it off air, but right now I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Exactly. So what else you want to see from this season is, I mean, I want to see what happens with the alcoholic girlfriend. I will be disappointed if he doesn't tie off that loose end.
Yeah, you think she's coming back, right? And obviously we're both just awaiting what's going to happen in Atlanta. That's just simply it.
That's another thing that I'll be disappointed in is if he doesn't do like a little thing in Atlanta at the end.
I don't see a way that it couldn't, because if you follow the trend, if you follow the trend of Curb seasons, usually the first episode kind of like sets mm-hmm. the table
gives
for what we're gonna get. Yeah, and it may not be every single episode, but even in this one, there were references to Atlanta, because Bruce was obviously very
well. Also, he had the new lawyer at the very beginning that Leon had a fancy for.
Yeah, that's right. But also, Bruce wanted to meet him because he was so inspired by what Larry David did in Atlanta. So.
He was. I might have to try some of Leon's lines, see if they work.
Oh, man, I got to tell you what. Leon, the last couple episodes, he's been on fire, dude.
He's the GOAT. I mean, I and JB him. Smoove was famous, but I feel like he didn't start getting these commercials until Curb.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the whole NCAA March Madness thing.
Well, he had that, but even a couple of years ago, I think he had like a Crown Royal deal. Like he's definitely gotten a bit of a bag because of this. So good for him. He deserves it.
As you said, Larry has the pull, though.
He does have. I mean, we said this last week, right? And then he has fucking Bruce Springsteen on for like a full episode. Talk about pull.
Listen, you got
he's
him.
Pulling
you
out all the stops. Who's next? Who's the next big guest? I mean,
I don't know, but you got the boss for a whole full episode. So let's see where he goes from here.
I mean, how much bigger could you go? I mean, he had him on. Who else could he have? Bob Dylan? I mean, who else is bigger? Mick Jagger?
Yeah, I don't
Paul
know,
Paul McCartney?
Man. It's.
I feel like those are the only living artists that are bigger than Bruce.
I got to tell you what. I saw Paul McCartney at Austin City Limits Music Festival 6 years ago before I moved here, when I came here to visit. He did like 2 hours plus, and he was amazing. He did Beatles stuff. He did Wing stuff. He did his own stuff.
I'm jealous. Awesome. I don't know if he'll ever do something like that again. I'm jealous. I mean, I saw, let's see, who have I seen of that? I saw Stevie Wonder.
Did you really?
Yeah. It was a festival. Just like, I mean, you're not going to, I don't think Stevie Wonder just goes and does concerts now. So it was a festival. That's the only place you're going to see any of these oldies unless they do a farewell tour.
Sure. Yeah. I would have always wished I saw the Stones or somebody like that.
The Beatles, obviously, but we weren't around for that.
You know what's funny about the Beatles is they stopped touring after 67.
Yeah, they did.
So even the last few years of them putting out like 7 or 8 albums,
Have you ever watched the thing on Disney Plus?
I never did, but I've seen a lot of Beatles docs that weren't that, and
this one is really good because like it's not just about them, it is them, like they're just
it's the footage of them putting together the music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was. I mean, I'm about I watch like one episode every couple of months, so I'm about half. It's just it's a long watch. It's pretty much just a bunch of people. Sitting in like a big empty room from what I've seen so far, but it's the Beatles, so I have to keep watching. But
you know, Billy Joel's residency at MSG would have been something cool to see too.
It would have, but I'm kind of over that now. I don't know.
He did it for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, my younger cousin, who's like 14, he's a jack. He's a, I don't know what the word is, but he's into a lot of cool things. He's an old soul, I guess you'd say. He saw Elton John's last concert. I was pretty jealous of that. And he saw Kiss's last concert.
Out of the two, I would have preferred to see Elton John's last.
Me and you are very much on the same page.
Yeah, I bet both were pretty sick, though.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
Larry ruined Bruce Springsteen's farewell tour. So,
yes, he did. Well, again, can we prove that? Or did Bruce ruin it himself?
At least in L.A.
Well, again, did who gave who COVID?
Right. Well, if Larry's 99.9% sure, we got to go with Bruce.
Well, yeah, unless he's 100, of course. You got to go with the boss.
That's it.
All right, man. Well, you and Will, I'm coming back tomorrow with Will, obviously, for the weekly picks, boss. And then you guys are recapping the final four. I'm going to go ahead and guess and go out on a limb and say it's going to be Sunday morning. But who the hell knows? Maybe you guys will put it out Saturday night. Are you excited? I mean, you know, are you tracking the flight? Were you tracking it to make sure, you know, tracking the tail to make sure that they got there safe?
I was not doing that, but I did wake up to see your beautiful tweet at the account of Hurley's using another thing against him, and you 1,000% know he is. You know he went to his team and said, they gave us the toughest fucking bracket. Now they're not even letting us get there until an hour. And by the way, you also saw that Alabama had all the king beds, and basically UConn players were sleeping in like twin size beds. And you know Hurley's just like, these motherfucking cocksuckers, we're gonna kill them.
Well, he went on Part of My Take, and they were like, what are you gonna use for motivation? He's like, well, let's start with the distance, how far we have to travel. I was like, this guy will fucking do anything for next. I don't know if it's a gimmick or he's dead. I think he's dead serious because he's just absolutely batshit, but it's pretty funny to me.
I always used to think it was kind of a gimmick because I didn't know.
I feel like at first people thought Harbaugh was a gimmick too.
Yeah, I didn't know how much he was trying to be like that. I'm a UConn. I'm a Husky. I'm a Northeast guy.
I mean, that video of him in the presser when 2 years ago, whatever, when they got beat by Villanova, and he was like, "You better get us now." Like that video. Yeah,
four
sick.
Years ago. 4 years ago.
Yeah, that video is awesome now.
Well, and it is because it's validated.
Yeah, of course. If not, it would have just been a flash.
To answer your question, dude, I'm gonna continue to say I'm cautiously optimistic and go Huskies.
I hate that you do that. I'd love to hear you get cocky, but I'd be doing the same thing.
Of course you would. Listen, when you're in the Final Four, like, and I said this about the Elite Eight, and I even said about the Sweet 16, like, you're facing good teams. You're not supposed to blow teams out this time of year. You're not.
No, just wait till tomorrow when I give you my picks.
I'm looking forward to it. Picks Boss has become a must-listen-to episode, everybody, so please do it.
Please do it, everybody, and just listen to everything. It's not that hard. We're putting out shorter but more consistent episodes, and just give it a listen. It's easy listening, baby. We're the best.
How good are our voices, too? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I got to go to a voice. I think I have too much of a lisp. Do you think so?
No. You just got that harsh New York accent, but I love it.
Good. I'll email that voice coach back and tell her that I don't need her services then.
No. I think it helps what makes you unique because articulate, but it has that very real New York feel, and I'm a big fan because growing up in Connecticut, even though closer to the New York side, I never really got that. So
it's interesting because I grew up like maybe 20 minutes from you.
I know. I never really got that.
Well, now you got y'all down pat.
You know what's funny, bro, is I never think of it. You just hear it all the time. But I will tell you this. In certain situations, y'all is so much better than you guys. In this current climate, like I always used to say you guys, and I would say that to like a group of two or three women that would walk into the fitness center or whatever. And I'd be like, I don't feel great saying this. But I'm like, well, hey, y'all, how are we doing? Like, that sounds so much better. I win.
Yeah. I usually just go with like, sup, ladies.
Well, that's, yeah.
But I have that way where I'm a chameleon and I could just play it off. Not a lot of people have that. That's my talent.
Yeah, you know, some don't love that, you know, that they don't want to be greeted that way. They feel like they're being pried on from the immediate second. But listen, your ways have worked for you, and who am I to question you?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I mean, I question you a lot, but who are you to question me?
Well, and if you do question me, let's have the laundry list out.
Nah, bro, never. All right, everybody. Well, we hope you enjoyed this pod, and we will be back to talk to you guys pretty soon.
Absolutely. Take care, everybody.